This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorites that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 97 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stufko.
These are probably my favorite ones to do, Tristan. Guys, we're recording it from our office in Sydney, Australia. We're joined live with Dara, who goes by stage name DJ Tiger Lily, and these are always the best opportunities for us to build awesome rapport and get that good energy flowing through the show.
Yeah, as good as Skype is, and we still love the Skype interviews, to get someone in person, someone on the domestic scene in Australia, someone doing some great things, and someone that we both believe is an inspiration to others. So she really ticks a lot of boxes here, and I can't wait to meet her and actually bring her on. And just, you know, for our American audience, there's still finding out who Dara Hayes is, it'll be a great chance for them to actually be first exposed to her. And for others, even in Australia, maybe they don't know too much about her and get to know exactly who Dara and what she brings to the table.
It's an awesome opportunity to strip the beats away, to strip the sound and the nightclubs away, and really sit down and get to see the framework and the headspace of a international DJ. I know that she's big on meditation. She stands for a lot of good things. Lifeline, we'll get into that when we get her on the show. But I'm excited for her to hopefully diminish a couple stereotypes that I know. You know, Australia could be a little bit chauvinistic. When I first moved here, that's one of the first things I saw. And I read a stat about DJs, and I think female DJs are less than 5% of the whole industry. So to see her,
I guess they're already up against it from the start.
For right? Sure. Yeah, for sure. And to get to share her story and show you guys what she's all about, it's way more than just the music. And to say that she's from Sydney, man, it's
perseverance, it's talent. It's like a lot
keep
of
keep
different
going.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like,
still following that passion.
Definitely. And there is a few different bows to her. You know, she is an ambassador for Lifeline, which is something that I really feel is great, because for all the high profile people out there, I don't think everyone uses their popularity and that profile properly, and I feel that Dara is, and she gives a lot of insights on her Facebook page. She's doing a lot of work for Lifeline, and she should be commended for that. That's some great time, because her time is limited, especially with all the touring that she does. So for her to take the chance to actually do it, it's quite commendable.
Yeah, Lifeline guys out listening from America, it's suicide prevention. It's a hotline, basically, you know, for people struggling with mental issues, mental disease. Dara's at the forefront of that and speaking out openly about the importance of sharing and speaking and talking about your problems.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's get Dara on, and I'm really excited. She's only a couple minutes away, so here she is. Our special guest is Dara Hayes, a.k.a. Tiger Lily. Dara is one of Australia's leading DJs, doing her thing on an international stage. Back home, she's also doing great work as an ambassador for Lifeline and recently started her own podcast, the Team Tiger Podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Dara. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Dara, thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us here.
Absolute pleasure.
Fans listening at home, Dara met us in the CBD of Sydney, so we're actually recording live from the health club. To get this started, could you share with your fans and our fans alike what 2017 is going to offer in the world of DJ Tiger Lily?
2017 is so exciting for me because 2016 was a tough year. I spent like 8.5 or 9 months last year overseas touring, and that was really hard. I hadn't toured that extensively before, and just imagine being like constantly jet lagged, constantly hungover, constantly trying to fight a battle for balance between sleep, healthy eating, exercise, traveling, family, friends. It was just a fail, you know. It was so difficult to try and maintain any sort of balance. And so I've really taken a step back this year, and I've actually taken the whole of January off, which is exciting. And I'm really kind of rewiring and resting and kind of taking a little bit of a step back from the DJing on an international scale, which means I'll have more time to focus on my music and more time to focus on my health, which will hopefully in turn, you know, spread out to the rest of the world. And I suppose more time to work on my brand and explore different areas of my brand too. So not to fear, there's going to be lots of music and still lots of DJing, but maybe just a little bit less overseas and more in Australia. And yeah, definitely some really cool stuff with collaborations of brands and travel and all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very exciting.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the travel last year, because I know you went to America for a little while. You went to Vegas.
I was in Vegas like 5 times. Wow. I'm pretty sure maybe 6 times.
I lived there for 2 years before I moved here. So were you doing like, did you do Surrender?
No, I play at the MGM Grand, Hakkasan, and Wet Republic.
Did you do Marquee? Cosmo?
No, literally just Hakkasan and Wet Republic. So it's fun, but it just always, you know, you either Vegas fucks you over or you don't drink one sip of alcohol and you're fine, you know. But usually it's the first option.
Yeah, the heat though too, I remember when I first moved there, I used to think that drinking, it would be the drinking as well to dehydrate you, but just staying in the 110 degree heat, just in that atmosphere, will get to you. If you're not set up with like the hydration, the water, the right foods.
I played on a pool party once, actually it was last year, and it was like 45 or 46 degrees Celsius. I don't know how hot that is in Fahrenheit.
It must be cooking there, all the equipment in front of you too.
Yeah, 114. And I had aircon units on me, and I was like about to faint because I was like played for 2 hours after that, just exhausted. And I was watching the Ambos pulling people out of the pool who were just like falling over, like dropping like flies. It was really scary.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Well, people are crazy.
It's crazy, but I think if you were DJing, so your music was coming through the speakers, people were having fun, you paint a good picture. One of the things I was talking with Tristan about, what I really wanted to ask you, I've always been intrigued by energy in large crowds. And there's this photo of you on one of your social pages with the perspective of the camera shot is from behind you, so you could just see the crowd.
Yeah.
And you're just in control. And I was like, Tristan, being a DJ like that has to be like a modern day like composer.
Yeah, like an orchestra sort of thing.
Like an orchestra. Yeah. Could you share with us a little bit about when the first time was that energy kind of was like, you thought to yourself, holy shit, this is gnarly. Like, did you have a moment like that?
I'm trying to think back to like the first time. I played like hundreds and hundreds of gigs in my life. I remember my first like proper club gig that wasn't like, you know, a warm-up set for the warm-up DJ was at Soho in King's Cross. And I remember only a year before that standing in the crowd and looking up to the DJ booth and being like, I'm going to be up there one day and I'm going to be DJing. And then 12 months later, I was there and like I was
so pumping too. That's a good club.
It's closed down now. But it used to be pumping. It was amazing, and I remember being so gobsmacked and getting goosebumps about the fact that, like, you know, I'd just kind of done it and I was now there in control playing the music to these people. And I you know, 12 months before that, I was the crowd. And there was another time as well in Malaysia, I played a really big festival. I think it was like 30,000 people. And that was epic. I remember dropping one of my friend's tunes, Will Sparks, I think it was Ah Yeah, when that came out. And this crowd went absolutely bonkers. And I just remember thinking, holy shit. Like,
this is my life.
If I accidentally stuff up and like press stop or do something wrong, everyone's going to hear it. And then I was like, don't stuff up, don't stuff up. But I had a lot of fun with it as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose those are the two moments that come to mind. But, yeah, it's super, going back to what you were saying about energy, I think it's really important. So many DJs don't think about that and they just stand there and mix in their own little world. But I'm all about, you know, sharing a good vibe with the crowd. And you honestly have to be upbeat, high energy, positive vibes. Because if you're not, no one wants to, like, look at a sad DJ mixing, you know. People want to be entertained.
How does it work? Like, I'm really intrigued into, like, your prep the night before. Like, and is it, like, a week? Like, obviously, you know in advance, like, where you're going. In terms of, like, you listening to, I'm sure that you listen to so much music to find out what everyone wants to listen to, what you like, and trying to mix it all together. Do you have, like, a, do you go in unstructured or structured kind of going into your sets?
Really unstructured. Like, I don't prep the night before. I prep, like, maybe a couple hours before.
Yeah.
And I usually just create a little playlist of, like, my favorite songs at the moment. And then I also have, like, my key songs that I always drop in every set. Ones that I know are going to go down really well. That's especially important in Australia because our crowds are pretty commercial and pretty, how would I say it? They know what they want to hear and they just want to hear that. So if you kind of divert from that, they might not necessarily respond well. So yeah, I just usually create some playlists and then I go from that and mix it up on the spot. I always play the same intro. That actually reminds me, I need to write a new intro for this year. But start with the same intro and then just go from there. I think it's really important to do that, to read the crowd. Because otherwise, if, you know, you've got these DJs that have a pre-made set, it's just so boring. What happens if the crowd isn't feeling it?
Well, sometimes, like, when I used to go to Stereo Sonic, it just sometimes felt like they just pressed the button and they just... I love Stereo.
I miss Stereo.
I miss too.
I went my first year. It was fun.
It was the two-day one.
It was no EDC.
Is that your first one, the two-day event?
My problem with coming to Australia is that being American, I used to compare things to what I had back home rather than be complete awareness and accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
But the Stereo scene was fun and that'll always remind me of the first year that I moved here.
Yeah.
With creativity, a good friend of mine, shout out Jeremy Cornwell, Las Vegas. Go check him out at STK Steakhouse Cosmo. And he's been playing music for, I mean, don't want to give my, we're 34. He's been playing since we were 12.
Yeah.
And he moved to Vegas about 10 years ago. I'll never forget this. We're at the pool, and I'm a big music fan. Like, Van Morrison's one of my favorite musicians of all time. Grew up listening to hip-hop, rap. Jeremy wouldn't listen to any music because he said listening to even the radio will affect his creativity. He didn't want to get some sort of connection with somebody else's sound. He wanted to find his own. Is this something that goes on in when you're creating that you think about? Or I know some people use other people as inspiration to find their own. And whatever it is, what is yours? And could you share with us?
That's such a loaded but awesome question. First of all, I'd like to say that yes, listening to music does definitely influence you. It may distract you or it may influence you in a positive way. We see that with the radio at the moment, like, you know, the way that trends happen. Someone like the Chainsmokers comes out with a hit and then next minute everyone's songs sound like the Chainsmokers. I try to listen to a lot of music. I actually don't listen to, like, any dance music when I'm having my downtime. I like a bit of rock, 90s, pop, hip-hop, you know, Christmas carols.
What are you listening to right now? Like, if you have your gym gear on, guys, listening, I'm definitely is very into fitness. I know a lot when you're not with your coach.
Yes.
So if you're training without your coach, you got the headphones on.
I'll tell you what I listen to. Yellow Card.
Oh, dude, Ocean Avenue.
Yes.
He's got
breathing, empty apartment.
Here I go.
Lungs out to try to get to you.
Yes.
This guy's quite a singer, too.
I grew up, that whole genre was like, did you ever listen to Brand New? Taking Back Sunday, Thursday, but Yellow Card was in that realm, like 2004, post after Blink already created this energy about that punk, like rock, pop rock sound.
Yeah,
Yellow Card is Ocean Avenue was the album.
Yeah,
so Johnny
such
was
a, great album.
A reggae singer back in the
day. Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah, I lived in Long Beach for 7 years and had hair down on my shoulders, and me and my buddy Danny Olson. You met Danny.
Danny's great.
He did a US tour, so we met him there. But yeah, reggae music in a sense of like Sublime.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Like reggae slash punk, but like almost freestyle.
How awesome.
Yeah, it was, music is, I feel like when you meet people, there could be gauges of like, all right, can I form friendships with? And for me personally, it always comes down to music. Like,
yeah.
This person doesn't listen to music, man, I can't really chill with them. You know,
for me, it's always like music or health. If you aren't aligned with like one of those ones, I don't reckon we're going to get along.
Yeah.
How would you define health?
General well-being. So you could be healthy and you could never step in the gym. I think health encompasses like mental and physical.
Yeah.
So it's about meditating. It's about consciousness. It's about considering what you're putting in your body in regards of food and supplements. And if you do take drugs or if you do drink alcohol, also about working out and being happy. So it's like, it's, you know, it's loaded.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for your fans out there, Dara, just maybe you would get a bit of an insight sometimes. Like, we love asking morning rituals.
Yeah.
Something I really want to know actually is people really struggle with nightly rituals. So I want to know what you do after you kind of come back from work.
Yeah.
And just give us a little bit of insight, something that we can share with the audience.
I think after I finish working, I do have a little bit of a ritual just because it can be hard to wind down after a gig. Often what I'll do at the club after I've played, I don't generally drink before I play. I might have a glass of champagne, but usually afterward I might have a glass of champagne or a vodka or something just to sit down, de-sweat, chill out. And then I usually go back to my hotel room and I will take a melatonin tablet, which is like, you know, natural sleeping tablet.
Yep.
And then I'll have a shower and then I'll usually sit down and either literally just chill out and try and sleep, maybe read a book, maybe have a scroll on Instagram, but I know that that's really bad because that counteracts my melatonin tablet. So really, it's literally just about doing something really simple, which is maybe having a drink with my friends, going back, having a shower. And yeah, I feel like melatonin really helps me after my shows. And I know that's bad to probably be quite reliant on something like that, but it's really hard for me to wind down after a show. You've been in a club for 3 hours and the music's banging and you're jumping around and screaming into a microphone. So, yeah, that's kind of what I do. I know it's basic and simple, but it works for me.
Awesome. And in the reverse, the morning ritual?
You know what? Fuck morning rituals.
Yeah.
Yeah, not about it.
Just every day, just a little bit unstructured. Just,
yeah.
Just the way you wake up, you just want to do whatever you want to do.
I'll either get up and... Okay, my perfect morning.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll do my perfect morning compared to my morning this morning.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So my perfect morning is get up, go for a swim, come back, do some stretching, have one of my protein green smoothies, maybe do a bit of meditation or a bit of yoga, and then head to the gym. This morning, I got up at 6. I slept really badly last night. And I went over to my friend's house and we went for a 90-minute power walk together.
Nice.
Then I came home and I did some stretching and then I had my smoothie and then went and got a coffee with my sister. So, you know what? Like, some mornings, you don't get stuff in. And then I started hitting my work because I had so much work to do.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to not put pressure on you to achieve and succeed and tick off the boxes of the morning rituals.
Yeah.
I think people put so much pressure on themselves. I'm going to get up and I'm going to meditate for 20 minutes and then I'm going to go and swim for 20 minutes and then I'm going to make this.
I'll tell you a simple one that Johnny actually showed me. It was making my bed. I used to be horrendous with it. And now last month, like, I've just been so overwhelmed with other things.
Yeah.
As soon as I leave, at least I know that I've made my bed.
Yeah, that's really good.
Something I've just ticked off. Yeah. I learned that from him, actually.
This was one of those things, though. I was actually, a client brought this up today.
Yeah.
Is that if you're, so we're all three different types of learners, visual, auditory, kinesthetic.
Yeah.
And so that works on a couple different levels. Being visual, if I leave my bedroom and come home, no matter how my day went, and it's not made, I'm gonna have that visual attachment to another thing that probably didn't go my way.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, life's not easy.
No.
People have this misconception that even if you get to a certain level, it's just going to become easy. Life is a daily, every day is a new day.
Yeah, 100%.
And if I could control one thing in my day, it's making my bed.
Yeah.
So no matter what that space was filled from point A to point B when I get back, I know that I was in control of that, and then it's also set up. It also comes down to, this is one of the philosophies of Burning Man, is that nothing is left behind. Whatever you bring, you must leave as well, without any sign of it being there. And I think that That's kind of one of those things. Holistically, I want to leave my like that little space, which we spend so much time in, mostly 8 hours a day, which is crazy. Exactly how I left it.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. I'm going to start trying to do that.
I took my dinner off because it was just too big. And it's summer anyway. So yeah. The quilt. Oh, is that what you guys call it?
Blanket, quilt, comforter. There's a bunch of
names. Comforter.
Yeah. Comforter.
I need to take pillows off my bed. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 pillows. And so that's what I think some days, like my bed wasn't made today.
Are you an animal person?
Though. You should start a pillow.
Yeah.
Somewhere. What do you got? Cat, dog.
Actually, I also have a toy giraffe and a toy bear, so that's like 14.
Wow,
I know.
You mean the toy?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have a giraffe like the toy, like a toy teacup poodle.
No. Like a fluffy fake one.
Okay. I think you'd be watching Heck Over 2.
No, man, that was actually horrific. Dara, you mentioned a few times meditation.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, but in an alternative way, meditation wasn't alternative enough. But have you ever gotten to the sensory deprivation tank?
I've never done that, one of those floating tanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I've actually been hit up by the guys that do it at King's Cross, and I was meant to go and do it, but I never did, so I need to go.
Yeah, I go to the one in Bondi Junction, run by Susie. It's a meditative and massage healing center.
Yeah.
But for someone like yourself, especially what 2016 was like, traveling, being in and out.
A lot of these cities
You just got to be careful, Dara, because I know I've read over your last couple of posts and you were saying you were struggling with a bit of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that, I know I struggle with anxiety sometimes, and my last experience wasn't the best.
In one of these tanks.
So maybe go with someone that you trust.
And I think it's you need to go in the right headspace, for sure.
What happens is it because you're, you know, the stimulus around your career path is just overwhelming. With the tank, was invented by a doctor who was researching natural ways to heal cancer.
Yeah.
So he developed, it's actually called the sensory deprivation tank. What it does is it just strips your body of what makes you a human.
Yeah.
Height, you know, taste, touch, hear, smell, and feel.
Yeah.
So like you're in the tank, you can't feel anything. The water is your body's temperature, and you're floating completely dark.
I need to do this.
Ears plugged. You're not tasting anything. So what begins to happen is your consciousness begins to separate from the body.
Yeah.
And an hour in the tank is equivalent to 8 hours of sleep. So
it
it's
is
like,
good. Once you get relaxed, it's really good.
I'll send an ebook on it. It's like a guide to like all my friends were like, Johnny, you always talk about it. It's just like the things that the mistakes I made from like how to put the earplugs in to showering at home to save time when you're there, sort of thing. Like
yeah,
that.
100%. That would be awesome.
But you're right about headspace. That's huge. Because we had Commando Steve in here as well. And he's huge. He's huge on it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of trying to convince me to get back in there.
Yeah.
So it will happen. It's just when I'm in the right mindset and the right time, I think I will go back because it is very creative. Like you're
You definitely need to just go in the right headspace and be, you know, just in a positive headspace, so you go in there and no matter what, you just have to be like, yep, I'm doing this for the right reasons. If there's one little shimmer of doubt, that's probably gonna
bring a
start
notepad
speaking.
Because you get creative, like the ideas that come out of this thing is like huge.
It's
like
parts of the show, like I'll go to the tank, I float every Sunday and I'll bring my journal. And as soon as I get out of the tank, because inspiration and creativity, it's fleeting. It's like catching fish in a pond with your hands. So you grab it, it slips away.
Yeah.
So for some reason in that tank, because I think all of the stimulus is stripped away,
you're
finally at one with like
certain
thoughts. So like,
I think,
I'll be like, oh, we could do that, or maybe ask that thing.
It sounds like such a great thing, but also a scary thing if people don't know how to control their mind.
Yeah.
Like for people that don't do meditation, whether it's a sitting down cross-legged on kind of meditation or whether it's meditation through, let's say,
like headspace or something
exercise
like that.
or writing or whatever. I use an app, the app called Headspace.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
I love it. It's really great. But then I've also just trying sometimes to do it without and just do my own like a 20-minute.
It's tough for me to do that without.
Without?
Like, have you achieved the meditative state just doing
that? I think you need to put less pressure on yourself though to achieve that meditative state.
Yeah.
You know, you need to just be able to try and focus and calm your mind and just be able to sit there in silence and be conscious of your breath and the fact that you haven't hopefully got many thoughts going on. And I think that that's one of the things with meditation. People get so hung up about being good at it. I do it. I'm not good at it. I don't care. I still do it. And I think it's really important to just be practicing it whether or not you think you're good. Sometimes I'll sit there, especially lately. For some reason, my brain this year has just been so chatty. And I'll have a terrible 20-minute session. I'll be fidgety. I'll open my eyes. Yeah. I'll scratch. I'll be like, oh, come on, Dara. Concentrate. But at least after that session, I know I've tried to complete my practice. Even if it wasn't ideal, I still think you're getting so much from, you know, putting in the effort.
Back to the music. Mm. Was this... So people who are on their path and people who stick... I call it magic, because when we're kids, we all believed in magic. Mm. Magic that whatever you wanted to do, you could do. And a lot of times with us, with life, you lose that at a really young age. Whether you want to be a baseball player, you get to, you know, 20 years old and you realize there's just so many people better than me. And then you just stop playing. Maybe it's a singer. Maybe it's a guitar player, whatever it is. For you, in your position, where you're going, everything that you've done, has this been a plan?
No.
Could you share with us?
It's all magic. I still believe in magic. Yeah. I think, but it's... how I kind of see it is, you know, you definitely create your own path. So I went to a selective high school in Sydney, which means that you have to do like an academic test to get in. So I was surrounded by super bright girls, mostly with type A personalities, which definitely has shaped who I am today. Then I went to uni just because, of course, everyone goes to uni from that school. Like, I think 99% of my cohort went to university. What did you do there? I started doing science to go into dentistry, but then a year after that, I changed and I did media and communications, which was okay. If I had my time again, I don't know if I would have done the same thing or even would have gone to uni.
I'll say the same thing. Like, I think 18 is too young.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, maybe you have a gap year, you know, like the Brits do a lot of gap years. Do Americans do a lot of gap years too?
I would definitely encourage my children to do a gap year.
Even if you join the army for a few years and actually get some discipline in your life.
Yeah.
Like, I
especially
think
for guys. Yeah. For sure.
I don't know, man. I went to school, did the post-grad school as well. And I think, though, that if you could take the kid, and I'm a big believer of this. Imagine if you took that kid, though, who's like 9 or 10, didn't tell him he had to go to college, but found out what he really was good at, or she, what they're really passionate about, and started cultivating that.
Agreed. Hit the nail on the head.
Instead
ding,
of
ding,
like
ding.
Me at 18, everyone's, I got to do this,
there's
and I got to go
so
to school.
So much pressure to decide what you want to do at 18
for the rest
to 20.
Of your life.
I know.
Yeah. When like, and then you get the 18-year-old who's now 35 sitting in that 8-by-room working for a company who really wants to be surfing or something.
I know.
Absolutely.
And that's when things like depression come in and anxiety come in and all that kind of stuff, which is just, very unhealthy
don't
the way
get me
our
wrong.
Society
like, education's
runs.
Great, but just, I think there's a time and a place for it. And I think part-time study is actually a lot better than full-time
definitely.
Study. Because it gives you something to do, occupy on the side.
Yeah.
But I think it's way too early for them to decide what they actually want to do.
Completely agreed with you.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah. The education, though, has different levels, though. I mean, you got that education system with the college is built just for auditory. Let me regurgitate information, study, and then take a test. You're not learning anything.
You're not actually learning.
So
deep
like,
learning.
I would
yeah.
like. I'd be probably pro like trade, like a trade or like a specialized skill sort of thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned depression, and could you share with us a little bit what your work is with Lifeline?
Yeah. So I'm super passionate about mental health and talking about mental health and being open about mental health because it's so important. And I've been working with Lifeline for a year now. So they're an Australian-based charity that works to prevent suicide among Australians and works to also create mental health plans and develop, you know, positive and strong mental health for Australians, old and young, which is so awesome. So I headed over to New York last November and ran the New York Marathon for Lifeline, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Never run a marathon before, but I did it without stopping, which I was very excited about.
How long is it?
42 kilometers.
Are you a trooper? That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I did 3 training runs because I couldn't do any more because I was touring so hard. And I did the last training one with my dad, and he's done plenty of marathons. He's like super fit dude.
So you only trained 3 times for the marathon?
Yeah. And at the end of our training run, he was like, okay, D, it's going to be all right, but just probably walk a lot of it. And I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll be fine. And I was intending to walk a lot of it because it's a really long way.
It's okay. So.
And I didn't walk one step except for when I was drinking the water at the water stations. But you know what? It was hard. Like that, the last 7Ks, you really found your why and you really had to dig deep and you know, your body wasn't working anymore. It was just your mind. And it was just me convincing my mind, like, that I had to kind of finish and keep going and cross over the finish line. But then when I did, it was awesome. So, yeah, Lifeline is really great. And I'm continuing to work with them this year, which is awesome. I'm actually going to be a writer for the Huffington Post and be talking about a whole lot of mental health issues and social issues to do with, you know, social media and being a female and finding our way and depression and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. And maybe I'll run the marathon again. So, that's yeah. Great.
How do you feel, though, with the writing, the being, you know, working with Lifeline and basically showing that it shouldn't be a taboo to talk about what we're struggling with and what makes us sad or maybe that we just feel different from everyone else? What is your main intent with being part of that and what message do you want to put out there to the people listening?
Great question. My main message is that you are not alone and that no matter who we are, whether we're a social influencer, whether we're a crazy celebrity, an elite athlete, or just your average Joe, we all suffer from mental health problems, whether it be panic attacks, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. We, like, everyone suffers or knows someone that's suffering in some way or another. And I just think it's so important for people, especially young people, to know that they're not the ones, like the only ones that are just feeling this way. I watched a really awesome video. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
The Millennial Conversation.
Yeah, the Millennial Conversation. You know what? I really did like it. Okay. And I'll tell you why I liked it.
Tell me why, because this is interesting.
Because I'd been thinking about all these issues for 12 months, maybe a bit longer now, and thinking why I was feeling specific ways, why I was feeling slightly disenfranchised maybe with my life or with my work, really wanting to do positive things, make change, also struggling with self-concept and comparison and social media and all this stuff. And he literally described so many aspects of my headspace and my life in this conversation. And I think he did it in a way which was, it wasn't condescending. It was quite warm and non-judgmental, but at the same time, kind of stating the facts about potentially why us millennials are like this. And it gave me, after watching that, it kind of gave me confidence to speak up last week on my Instagram about just how my mind has been feeling this month. So I said, it, you know, it's been really chatty. One morning I'm high as a kite and happy. The next day I'm crying for God knows what reason. And I think that that's so normal. And I was talking to my mum about it and she's like, it's so normal. That's fine. Like, don't think something's wrong with you because of this. Yeah. Like, we are presented with these false lies in movies and on TV and on social media about how the fact we should be happy all the time. And it's just so unhealthy.
So it's like, give yourself a break, is it?
Yeah, give yourself a break. Let yourself cry. Let yourself be sad. Be a bitch to your boyfriend. I know I am. Sorry, Scott. But, like, you know, I think it's really important to just realize that, that's so okay. And the response that I got just from that post, it was just so awesome. Like, so many people need to hear that. And I swear 99 of the social influencers, if you will, on, like, social media won't talk about this stuff because it is taboo and it does open you up to criticism and it does make you look potentially weak and maybe big brands don't like it, but fuck the big brands. I care more about the people.
And yourself, when you think about like the size of your own audience, like literally that post would have probably been seen by over 100,000 people. So you had the opportunity to use something for good, which was brilliant.
And I think you know what? I had a meeting with Pete, the CEO from Lifeline, like the day after, and he was like, the number of people that you would have reached in that post is like so much more than so many spokespeople will reach in 12 months, you know? And he's right. Social media has the ability to connect so many people.
Think about how quickly you can do it. Cause that's the size of like a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
It's probably more than over 100,000, though, when you think about it, because that's just, like, with your, you know, social media presence and then people talking about it and having the conversations like this and then sharing it. I like what you said, though, about emotions, because one of my favorite speeches, you guys can look this up. It was from 95. Coach Jimmy Valvano, he passed away of cancer, and ESPN does the Valvano Foundation for him for, like, cancer research and things like that. He's giving a speech in front of all of his colleagues, all of his peers, and he talks about an average day for him.
Mm.
It has to have every emotion. He laughs, he cries, he hugs, he screams, and that's part of being a human.
Yeah.
And if we attach ourselves to, like, the movies you said, of what happiness looks like, or what a perfect relationship looks like, or what my life is supposed to be like, I think we'll never intrinsically know, what do you want?
I know. 100%.
I think that should be the message too, and not with the millennial thing with Simon Sinek. I think it's important though to not attach ourselves to other people's path.
Yeah,
even definitely. If it's right or wrong, find that own path, find your own why, your own intent.
But you know what? It's getting more and more difficult to do that when people, and when I say people, I mean especially young people, are so connected to their phones. I read this article yesterday. I think it's in my bag at the moment. I think it was in, like, the Good Weekend or something, talking about young teenage girls and Instagram and social media. And they literally all just want to look like Kylie Jenner, or what's that girl's name? Alexis Ren, or whatever her name is. I don't know. I never know how to pronounce it. But they all just... they want to be either Instagram famous or YouTube famous, and they just want to look pretty and they want to be hot. And it's difficult because I'm also very much swept up in that world. You definitely have to look a certain way for people to engage with you in a certain way on, like, these social platforms. But in saying that, it's so much harder, I think, these days for young women especially to forge their own individual path without clinging onto the journey of other people.
Yeah.
Just because it's so in our faces and we're all so addicted to social media.
I think, so
there you go.
Back on that, I think if you guys are listening who are struggling with what Dara's talking about, with this social media affecting you in a way of, it comes down to this. For you personally, Dara, if that's ever happening, you need to just, you're creating.
Mm.
So, like, I always, my favorite quote, our duty as humans is to create culture, not consume culture. So my beef with Sinek was the whole, it's interesting to hear your perspective because we're two different generations.
Mm.
I thought it was very, I thought he wasn't diplomatic. Mm. I thought he sounded like a bitter mid-40s dude who missed the boat on opportunity. Great interview though by our boy Tom Bilyeu on Inside Quest. So if you guys don't know the interview, go to Inside Quest. Tom interviewed Simon Sinek and we're talking about the millennial conversation. I just think that the origin isn't, I think it's more like consumerism.
Mm.
Like, why are we on social media if, like, you know, we run businesses off of it. I'm on Insta, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, but I'm not clicking on anyone's pages. I'm using those to create and want to inspire people.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to the, you know, it's bothering you, talk to yourself, write things down. What do you want to do? It comes down to, once again, the intent.
Yeah.
Rather than blaming a whole thing on one thing.
And I definitely think there are so many awesome, positive people out there on social media. Something that I actually did that I would encourage a lot of people to do, me, like a lot of other women, often struggle with self-concept and comparison.
Mm.
Some people be like, oh, you're so pretty and you're so nice and you're so smart. And I'm just like, oh, what is going on in my life? I've got nothing going for me. But what I found was that if I used to follow a lot of Victoria's Secret models, a lot of beautiful women, and I'd be scrolling and I'd be sat at home or in a hotel room lonely on the other side of the world dealing with jet lag, and I'd just see these beautiful girls in bikinis on beaches, and I would think, my life sucks. Yeah. What am I doing?
Did you compare yourself to them?
Yeah, 100%. Wow. It's only natural, I think. Mm. And what I did is I unfollowed pretty much every single one of them. And now I only follow people or pages that, like, work to inspire me and make me feel empowered. And I cannot tell you how awesome doing that was for me. Now I follow vegan pages, animal rights pages, travel pages, photography pages. I get on my Instagram, I see what my friends are doing, of course, too. And I just think something so small like that, making a conscious decision to unfollow specific accounts that could create a sense of comparison in my mind by letting them go, oh my gosh, it just has changed my experience on Instagram completely.
Actually, this is a good segue because before we started the interview, we were talking about Rich Roll.
Yes.
So let's tell everyone why you love Rich Roll and
how it's inspired you. I love Rich Roll. Hi, Rich Roll.
The Rich Roll Podcast.
You are listening to the Rich Roll Podcast.
How cool is his voice?
Oh, it's so soothing.
Been to the other side. Rich has seen the, yeah, he's like a roller coaster for sure.
He is just so inspiring. And I talk about him quite a lot on my Snapchat when I'm talking about health and stuff like that, because he was one of the people that inspired me to go fully vegan and plant-based. And I just love how he presents things in such a researched and diplomatic way,
unbiased.
Yeah, unbiased. Sure. And I think we were saying before, he's been through a lot of shit in his life.
Yeah.
And from someone like that, he's got many years on me and a whole lot of experience on me. So I feel like everything that he kind of talks about is really considered. And yeah, I'm like so lucky that I found him, actually thanks to my sister. My sister's vegan too, and about a year and a bit ago she was like, you've got to listen to this Rich Roll dude. And I was like, who is this guy? And all of a sudden was just absolutely addicted to his podcast. Yeah. That's mainly how I consume his content. And what I also love about the podcast is that it's just everything is around well-being, but, you know, you'll listen to something on sleep and something on ultra marathons, something on diet, something on maybe
it's incredible. Fasting. Travis Barker. Yeah, Travis Barker on this week. It was amazing. I'm halfway through it.
I haven't listened to that. Yep, yeah, recovery.
It's really, really good. Sure.
Yeah, community, all that kind of stuff.
Tree people. Man, yeah. Rich came on our show and was dropping knowledge bombs because when I hear vegan, I'm kind of an extremist in a sense of how I see things if I hear something. So I hear vegan, I think the kid who's wearing hemp clothes,
yeah,
the soap, you know, they smell of patchouli. What other horrible generalizations could I think of?
Yep.
But he said, no, we are vegan plant-based, which means the food that's put on the plate.
Yeah.
Is that what you follow?
Yeah.
Are you down the road with this cologne or the soaps and the perfumes and stuff like that?
I try and see. The word vegan is so it's politically heavy. Loaded, yeah, it is. Isn't
right.
it?
So many
and you know what? I drop the V bomb all the time, and my boyfriend hates it. He's like, let's have a meal without saying the V word. I'm like, no, vegan, 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 vegan. But I say that because I'm so passionate about it, and I think it's so important to try and talk to people and educate them and inspire them.
Yeah.
But what I try and do and how I try and see it is as a lifestyle choice. So yes, my diet is plant-based, and so the food on my plate is all from plants and has no animal products. But then I also try and only consume, you know, make sure the stuff that I'm using, say my hair product or whatever, is vegan or not tested on animals. And I try and think about, okay, how long are my showers this week? Okay, need to make them short because, you know what, I drive a big car. So I'm going to make sure I don't have air conditioning at home, and I'm going to make sure that I have, you know, the good LED light bulbs, not the ones that like
so your
pack footprint, all the energy.
You're very aware of it, what you're putting in the
yeah, so I think it's for me, it's not just the plant-based, you know, diet.
Yeah.
It encapsulates a whole lot of different things. And it also, you know, it makes me think about my compassion toward animals and my compassion toward people, my compassion toward the world. And it does get pretty heavy sometimes. Like, I messaged my boyfriend the other day and I said, oh my goodness, I feel so sad for the earth sometimes. Like, we are just destroying
it.
And he's just said, you're a Fruit Loop. You make life hard for yourself.
No,
do you follow the kid? Do you follow the young American, Native American? I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Xyeutl?
No.
X-Y-E-U-T. Well, he's only 16 years old. He's done numerous TED Talks. He'll be speaking in Sydney in about 3 months.
Cool.
But he's part of this huge movement about protecting the earth.
Yeah.
And he is Native American, and he's right on the front lines of what's going on with the pipeline.
Oh, okay, like, of course,
I don't want to go too political in that.
Yeah.
But do you think the origin of, you know, people being more aware of our daily processes, does that comes down to education? How would you address that issue initially?
My aim with my audience and the reason why I kind of want to get more followers is so I can spread, to be honest, not just music, more so than music, is
a vehicle
to convey the message. And I think the message needs to be about consciousness in general. Yeah. Consciousness about ourselves, about how we treat others, about how we treat animals and how we treat the planet. And it's, as you said, it's all about education. I think it's about making these day-to-day decisions that will effectively change the life of our planet, about making these decisions cool, about making it cool to be a part of Clean Up Australia Day, about making it cool to be vegan.
Well, you're an influencer, so if you take a stand first, people will follow you, and you're doing it in the right way. So I think that's a good way to do it.
It's a long road, and just our global population is so uneducated, but there's definitely hope. I think last year I really started to notice a waking up of everyone. Like, there are so many more people meditating. There are so many more people reading books. Like, what was life-changing for me was Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now and A New Earth.
It's in my bag. It's actually
still hasn't read it.
How good.
I've been reading. I read 150 pages this week.
I haven't, but it's actually, you know what? Yeah. I went and printed out a document today, and it was sat next to the computer. Yeah. So maybe that's my little cue to go and read it.
What else? Yeah. What else is on your book list? I love books. So. Have you read The Alchemist?
No, I haven't.
Read Paulicello's The Alchemist, trust me.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I've been recommended it by a lot of people. Yeah,
be the observer.
What was I going to... I want to read... I think it's called something like The Simple Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Mm. Who wrote it?
Don't know.
Google that. That seems like
just go by anonymous. Cool. Like, yeah. If you write a book like that, if you really didn't give a fuck, you won't put your name on it.
Yeah, 100%. I saw one of my friends reading it the other day, and I don't even know what it's about, but I think it's pretty much about kind of just letting go of everything as we know it in regards to how people perceive us.
Mm. It's so huge, man. Mm. Like, I could go on a hippie rant right now. But, like, seriously, like, even just the idea of, like, setting alarms, and it just sends you down the space of, like, we're permanent, we'll be here forever. Or, like, let me just go to work 9 to 5. I'll live forever.
Oh, my
gosh. I'll
just
do what I want to do after work. That, it has to be, like, a mass... Somebody has to take charge. I think guys like Joe Rogan is real good on that. Mm. Yeah. Speaking about, dude, if you, Alan Watts, way before... Alan Watts is the god. I'm glad you know who Alan Watts is. I talk about him all the time on the show. And he was really on the forefront of that.
Yeah,
of that
very much so.
Like, we're here for a short amount of time. Find what you love and do it.
You know what? One of my friends, I have...
That's why we reached out to you.
Thank you.
Because that's a big thing... I think the older we get, you tend to look at certain areas, and especially play music, like something that you love to do.
Yeah.
I think if you were to take a survey of a room of 100 people and ask them, are you doing what you love? And then what would that be? Pretty sure music would be high up there.
And so you're like 95% of them would say, no, I'm not doing what I love.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But I think I have this really awesome friend, just going back to the present moment thing that we're talking about. He has a tattoo, and it's just like now on his wrist. And I flippin' love that. I might even get it myself, just because I think we are so caught up in going to 9 to 5s and doing the fun thing after. Or we're going to be happy when we make $100,000, or when we get that bag, or when we lose that 2 kilos, or when we get that perfect boyfriend. But, like, that's never going to happen. And you know what? Even when you do lose that 2 kilos and you get that boyfriend and you get that killer job and earn that amount of money, you still won't be happy. Yeah. And because you'll be looking forward to, like, what is the next thing to do? And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're 80 and you're like, shit, I've literally wasted my life. That Eckhart Tolle book, The Power of Now and A New Earth, that woke me the fuck up.
I got it about 4 years ago.
I remember lying on the beach in Croatia and literally feeling my body for the first time when I was 22. How sad is that? It took me 22 years to feel my body for the first time.
It took me 30. So you have some people who won't know that. And I think that it's important, because, you know, you can connect with, like, how much information we have at our fingertips that nobody else ever who was a human before this time had that opportunity.
Yeah.
So for people to just live in this headspace of, I didn't know, the ignorant mindset.
Yeah.
Guys, just in case you missed it, we've had some great episodes with the likes of Gunnar Peterson. We've had Frank Zane, Dr. John DeMartini, and Aubrey Marcus in our latest episodes. So
go back, check it out. There's a lot of great content in there. I know that you'll all be enjoying it. Before we get back to Dara, just remember to subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And please leave us a 5-star review. Now, back to the show.
Back to your tattoo. If you had it now, and then, you know, now I, you know, like an affirmation, now I do this.
Yeah.
Spell it backwards. What's that spell?
I won.
Yeah.
Love that.
There you go. Just came
I was like, that's brilliant. I love that. Right, yeah, now. Cool. There you go. What were you saying? What were you talking about after that? You said something really important, I think.
Where were we at? Probably about, I don't know, I was ranting. Who knows? If you can think of it, do you know?
No.
About the, we got to Eckhart Tolle, you were on the beach in Croatia. The people who may never have that awakening, like, you know, you said it took you to 22, it took me to 30 to have that awareness, you know, to wake up. Was that on that bit?
There was, you was something before that, but I think, like, just looping back in, I think that, like, that's why, oh, we're talking about the political question and, you know, the pipelines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, gosh, I just want to get more followers and more of a following and a passionate following that's engaged, not just with my music, not just with my travel photos and bikini shots and whatever else it might be, but actually with, like, listening to, like, the greater message of, like, our world, I suppose. And it will happen for sure. There's so many more people and celebrities and social influencers waking up and pushing that, pushing that message, which is awesome. So it's just a matter of time, but yeah.
I agree with you.
Dara, how do you get, just in terms of getting better as a DJ, is it something that you gain better from experience, or do you get some, like, a mentor? How does that work?
It's like a combination of things. So I was always, like, musical when I was, I think, 3 or 4. My mom, like, threw me into music school where I learned the piano and learned to sing and play percussion instruments and write music and, you know, all this stuff. And I played heaps of instruments in every orchestra and band that I could get my fingers on up until I was, like, 18. So I was definitely a bit of a music geek. So when I first sat in front of, like, my set of decks, I was like, oh God, like, there are so many buttons, but the concepts of music were still kind of the same, and they were still there. 1, 2, 3, 4. The, like, harmonies, the melodies, the keys that the songs were in. So I think having a background in musical knowledge, like classical music, is very helpful when it comes to learning to DJ. Having a mentor is definitely great, but to be honest, it's definitely practice, practice, practice. So I actually used to date a girl, and she was a DJ, and she was the person that taught me how to DJ.
Okay.
And I remember getting her decks, and, like, I just mixed the same 2 songs in and out of each other, like, for hours trying to perfect it. And I would suck, and I sucked for quite a while.
Yeah.
It was great having her teach me the basics, for sure. But then once I'd kind of learnt the functionality of the decks and the mixer, it was up to me to practice. But in saying that, I reckon I only practiced in my bedroom for, like, 4 months before I said, fuck it, and went and got a show. In my first show, I did stop the music 3 times accidentally because I was so nervous. But, you know, it doesn't take a huge amount of time if you dedicate yourself to it.
Was there ever a moment when you're playing and you just knew that you made it?
I don't think I've made it. Like, what's made it?
Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, you know, we were talking before, you're playing at the Cross. Mm. Now you're getting gigs in Japan and you come back from America. So it's a big step up between going on a local scene and now you're getting considered as a top DJ overseas.
That blue tick. You made it.
Yeah. You got that blue tick, baby. You know what?
You learned today.
Was it your first tour or?
It wasn't even a DJing thing. Well, it kind of was, but it wasn't me performing. I was at a big club in Miami and this huge world number one DJ walked up to me and was like, Dara, how you going? I was like, how does he know my name? And I was like, holy shit, fuck.
Who's the DJ?
I'm not going to say, but, like.
Yeah, he knew your name.
And I was just like, what the heck? This is so cool. I turned around to my friend. I was like, he knew me. I was like, okay, cool. Maybe you've, like, kind of made it into this, like, crowd. But in saying that, I still definitely don't think I have.
To be recognized for your ability must feel good.
Yeah, you definitely. Yeah. For sure.
Stripping all the titles away. That's what, actually, you're just making people happy.
Yeah. It is a beautiful job and it's like super fun. I used to want to be, you know, the top of the world, number one DJ, hands in the air in front of 100,000 people. Like, I wanted that so badly. And I think as I've become older, my desires for my career have definitely changed. If I wanted to keep doing that and pursuing, you know, trying to crack that top 10 of, you know, popularity DJs, I could have moved to LA last year, done all that stuff. But I really think all the stuff that we've been talking about is far more important, and there's so much more longevity in that. So the plan is to kind of really work on my music to reach people in that way, as opposed to slogging myself through touring and then not even having the time or energy to do stuff like this, which for me is like the most awesome stuff.
Well, you probably give them a better show too, because you're going to be 100% there instead of you being tired at times.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And now you're coming back with something fresh too. So yeah. When you come back, Tiger Lily's going to have something fresh that people haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And they'll create a good show.
It's exciting. It is really exciting.
Yeah, Dara, I know your time is limited. We have a few questions left that we like to ask everyone, a few personality questions.
Yeah, sure.
I'll go first. So Dara, if your three best friends were in this room, you have your three best friends sitting in this room, what would they say about you?
Oh, God. I don't know if this is a good thing. I don't even know who my three best friends are.
Your closest friends.
Like, I have so many good friends. Okay, I think I'd have to say, so Ollie is one of my very, very dear friends. He would be the nicest about me. He would say I am crazy, kind-hearted, loving and generous. Second best friend is Scott, my boyfriend, and he would say I'm absolutely wacko, but still quite nice, but crazy. And then one of my longest best friends, Caitlin, what would she say? I was walking with her this morning.
Maybe this segment we've got to get her on the phone. Get set Caitlin on.
Yeah, I feel like that would be better because I don't know what she would say. I think she would say something nice about me. We've been friends for years and we've literally been through the most thick and the most thin times together. So I suppose she'd say something about the longevity of our friendship and how we've been able to overcome many hardships together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've got two more. We've got two more personality questions. First one is, when you were growing up, what posters did you have on your wall?
Bardo, pop stars, Spice Girls. Bardo, like, you know that girl group?
Yeah. Girl group? Bardo is.
That's
like an Aussie.
You take me higher.
Get him.
Yeah.
Bardo was good, Bardo.
Huh?
Bardo was good.
Yeah, Bardo were great. So I had like girl groups, and then I also used to just get animal posters and so many animals. And I used to have like this animal collection of like posters on my wall, and I would name every single one of them. I've never ever told anyone this, but I used to say goodnight to them every single night, every single one. There was like 50 animals and they all had
Do you think this maybe created the vision for the veganism?
They were speaking to you though.
Maybe they were. You know what? They were all influencing my look. Pop stars and animals. Sure, I'm on the stage now, and I love animals.
For sure. I like it. You're standing behind a new cars too, with the protecting them.
Yeah.
Okay, last one.
Yeah.
You've got Dara Hayes. You're hosting a private dinner party.
Oh.
You've got 5 invites. Now there's only 2 rules.
Mm-hmm.
You can't invite any family or friends.
Yeah.
But anyone dead or alive can come. Who are you inviting?
That's such a hard question. I hate questions like this.
We got to get to
that
title.
Because I'm going to skip people. You know when you're asked on the spot and you don't have time to think about it?
Well, I think me and Johnny went to dinner
At the beginning of the show, didn't you say, though, it's better the first time around?
Yeah, true. Okay, so I'm thinking someone who's like super inspired me musically and I love musically would have to be like, I know he's a bit bizarre, but Michael Jackson.
Well, his music changed generation, really.
MJ was the G.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, in the mirror. I could sing it for you now if you want. No, kidding.
kidding. Who else? Rich Roll, for sure. I would fangirl the shit out of him. I've got 3 more.
Maybe we've got another podcast with Rich and special guest Dara.
Oh, my God, I'd freak out. I hope he's not listening to this. three more people. This is a really hard question. Dead or alive?
Yeah.
Philosophers, astronauts, presidents.
Seneca.
Oh.
For sure. Presidents, meh.
Not really fine.
Actually, you know what?
Americans love picking presidents, don't they?
Yeah.
Because there's so much, too much behind the scenes.
All these alpha guys are like, I want to talk to Abe Lincoln, or I want to talk to Hitler all the time. You'd be shocked.
Hitler, really?
It comes up so often. It's crazy.
You know what? He was meant to be a very charismatic, influential man.
Look, he was evil, but even evil people have some great traits. Leadership traits. Like, he must have been very influential on his people.
Yeah.
One of my favorite podcasts, they highlighted pre-World War II, and Hitler was on the cover of Time magazine twice in America for ambassador. He was a good general in World War I because he was setting them up. It goes back
just imagine how good he could have
how
been.
How crazy
if he was
is that, though?
Good. Wow. If he was good instead of evil.
Yeah.
He
would have
done incredible.
But, you know, some people say Kennedy talked to us about Tim Kennedy, about the reason why we got to the moon was because of his scientists. It was because of him. Those were German scientists that ended up coming to America. But, yeah, so we got MJ, Rich Roll, Seneca.
Maybe like Martin Luther King.
Ooh.
And then probably a scientist. Someone who was really wacko for their time. I'm just trying to think who I've read stuff about. I don't know. You know what? No. Elon Musk.
Oh, there you go. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I love him. I think he's brilliant. I think he's so smart. He's so engaged.
Risk taker too.
Huge risk taker. Completely wacky, but he just stands for everything that, like, humans need to have.
He should
you know?
Be our world president.
He should be president.
Oh, amen. I will vote for him.
He created the fifth mode of transportation. Did you know this?
So what do you mean?
This is nuts. Amongst PayPal, amongst Tesla, amongst the solar energy panel thing, this dude created. So we have trains, planes, automobiles, rocket ships, which less than 0.0009% of the world will ever be on, and now the Hyperloop. So the Hyperloop, he uses compressed energy to get people from point A to point B, and his mission behind this is to make people's lives more efficient. So if you're in LA and you want to drive to San Francisco, it takes about 5 to 6 hours with good traffic. A flight takes roughly 45 to 60 minutes. The Hyperloop will get you there in 30 minutes. So it's like you get right there.
And is it like a train?
It looks like a train above ground. It looks like a big tube.
Fuck
it's
yeah.
Super quick. But yeah, Elon Musk would be. I probably emailed Elon Musk maybe 50
million
times. Yeah, I'm
Richard
persistent.
Branson, did you say you built a new plane as well?
Branson?
So LA to Sydney in 7 hours. Yeah.
Richard Branson would be a good one to have on that list too, you know?
Mm. Yeah, have you heard of. Yep, go on.
I just think, like. He just is very out there and forward-thinking and wants to create cool stuff,
absolutely.
Which I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, have you heard of, you know, is Necker Island?
That's his island,
yes.
Right? Where they go and have these massive, awesome conferences.
Yeah,
one of my
friends
went on one,
Maverick,
and I was, like, he was sending me photos.
The Maverick 1000 by Yannick Silver. He runs that. We're talking to Yannick next month.
Really?
But yeah, you go there. You're not allowed to bring any, like, cameras or phones, but everyone just shares ideas. And
so
like
cool.
Masterminds. So Dara, DJ Tiger Lily, for all of our fans listening at home, where could the people continue to follow your journey, support you on social media?
Where can they continue to? Oh, it's easy. It's just DJ Tiger Lily everywhere. TIGERLILY for those of you that don't know how to spell it. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, SoundCloud, Spotify, www.djtigerlily.com. What else? I think YouTube.
Boom.
I've got a blog too. Got an email thing if you want to sign up. It's all going.
Awesome. We really appreciate you stopping by the Vision Board podcast,
Dara.
And sharing the space with us.
You're
guys,
a legend, Dara.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. This has been awesome.
We're coming to the next set for show.
Yeah, honestly, I'm playing in Sydney soon.
Awesome. Sounds great. You guys be good out there.
Peace.
Later.
Awesome. And that was DJ Tiger Lily, better known as Dara Hayes, or the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Dara Hayes, better known as DJ Tiger
Lily. What an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, man. It was awesome getting her in here, getting to share this space. And sometimes you need to get through those phone, you know, the mobile waves. You need to be in person to really get that message out.
Yeah.
So this was an important one for us.
Yeah, definitely. You see a lot of things on Instagram, a lot of Facebook. But until you see it coming out of the person's mouth and you get to interact and talk about different issues, and I think that's great, the fact that she is not one-dimensional. She is bringing a lot to the table, and she's doing a lot of service for the community, which is great.
Yeah, that episode just proved that Dara is just so multidimensional on... Not, you know, it's just not about the music. I like what we talked about. The music is like her vehicle, and her path and her mission is going to be bigger than her music, I feel. What she's like, that overall outcome of impacting people, educating people, inspiring people, and hearing it straight from her mouth, you know, was cool to hear and really, you know, awesome to see that she's just not relishing in that fame. She doesn't. She said it herself. She said, "Did I make it?" You know, and then you'd have a person like when we told all the boys she was coming at the gym, you know, it. Dara, if you're listening, you made it. You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Definitely. So, guys, we hope you really enjoyed it. We're going to wrap it up on Friday. We'll talk about it into more details. But, you know, please subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed that episode with Dara, please share it on your social media and tell your family and friends. That's the best way for us to grow. And like Dara's doing for people on her podcast, we continue to grow together.
Yeah, guys, we totally appreciate your support. I promised a couple of my online clients live in America. I give them a shout out on this episode. Andre from Las Vegas, Mary from Long Beach, Jonathan from Virginia. Keep up the hard work, man. I'm cheering for you. Let's do this.
Go get it, guys, and we wish you the best. And next week on the show, it's actually our big 99 and 100th episode. So we got Whitney Miller on our 99th.
Miss America, guys. Miss Get America. Some.
And then we've got the big doll.
Big Papa.
Big Papa's coming back.
Coming back.
Joe DeFranco is coming back for number 100. We're really excited to get our main man back on the scene, and I can't wait to catch
up. He's been somewhat of a kickstarter for us, man. He really sparked a different trajectory on our path, so I'm really excited to get him back on to share some space.
Definitely a mentor, an influence, and someone we really respect. So, Joe, we can't wait to get you back on, my man.
Yes, sir.
Guys, we will see you soon. Johnny, social media.
Yeah, hit us up. Johnny Stofko, Facebook, Insta, Twitter. Tristan Cannell, you know where to find us. Subscribe to the show.
Boom. Guys, we will see you next week. Oh, actually, tune in on Friday. What am I saying? Boom. Friday. Wrap up. Boom.
Yeah, buddy.
Bye.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.